We knew we had a good team all along. We just had to go out there and do it. And now we kind of got that swagger, like, okay, we're ready to go and we're ready to play. It's really like we get in a halftime and everybody's just like, okay, tighten up, because we just don't want to disappoint.
They're not supposed to be able to handle, you know, have that grit and that short-term memory.
We had to come out there and perform like we're the underdogs every game, and just to play to our ability.
Golly, I mean, he's the biggest surprise on this team this year for me.
They hand the ball off to James Robinson. A little bit of room for the rookie. Inside the five, into the end zone. Touchdown, the rookie, James Robinson. A 17-yard touchdown run for Jacksonville.
Teams on the pass that I've been on, it kind of gets ugly once we get down. But this team, we just know that, okay, we're a team. Like, we can bend, depend on the offense a little bit, and the offense can eventually depend on the defense. We got to give them a little bit more, but they can depend on us.
Oh, no, man. I'll let mine speak for itself. But, you know, I'm gonna have respect for my elders.
Turner drops the throw. Fires. Middle of the field. That ball is caught for the touchdown.
You know, especially when they're much, much elder.
Ooh.
Be respectful.
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, uh-huh, Tony Smith,
yep,
and Mike DeRocco.
Come on, somebody.
And, of course, E.T. as well here. Good morning, everybody. Jaguars Today off and rolling. Hope you all choke on your breakfast. Did I say that out loud? I meant to just think that. But, no, I hope you really enjoyed the breakfast that I bought for you.
I did.
With the lack of fruits for my poor labors last week. Teach me to draft good players, yeah, and have them get hurt.
Maybe you'll get through a week without, you know, somebody getting hurt.
Who you want? Who you want me to draft, Jaguar fans? Derrick Henry? Who you want? Ryan Tannehill? Who'd you rather have go down this week?
We had it with D-Rock last year. Pretty much every week he would take a guy. I remember getting very upset with him when he took George Kittle because I hadn't taken him yet, and that was the week he got injured.
He did. I'm the kiss of death so far, though. I've had Saquon and Davante Adams this week, had Mike Thomas the week before, so you're welcome.
Watch out. You better not be taking any Jags.
Aaron Judge. How about that? Do that.
Stop.
Any Yankee guy?
Stop.
We
have to have somebody for Red Sox fans to watch in the playoffs because they ain't going to be watching their own team.
Yeah, that was pretty evident. Oh, three games in.
And by the way, the Celtics suck too, so there.
I'm not an NBA guy.
I don't care. They're still Boston.
You want to come at me with the what do you call it? The Bruins?
This is not, well, yeah, sure, why not? This is what I'm reduced to, rooting for the Miami Heat. It's an easy choice here. My wife had asked me that. I'm like, really, honey? You realize what city the Celtics play in? All right. Good morning, everybody. Jaguars today. It's game day. Am I the only one who's feeling really worried about the fact that Josh Lambeau is not going to be playing for the Jaguars for the near future? I'm asking a bonus poll question today on Twitter, and I want you guys to weigh in on whether I've got the categories right on this. Okay, I'm asking, how big of a deal is it that the Jags had to place Josh Lambeau on injured reserve? If you didn't hear, he's on injured reserve. Of course, if you don't know, the new injured reserve rules mean you have to miss a minimum of 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. You can be back basically in a month. Don't know if that'll be the case with Lambeau or not. Your choices that I am going with right now is no big deal. In other words, whatever. It's a kicker. A small worry. Very concerning. Catastrophic. Do you think that covers the good range?
I do.
All right. That's what we're going to go with then. We're tweeting that one out. You can reply to that. Of course, it's Keys to Victory Thursday. I say, of course. We don't have many Keys to Victory Thursdays, but
no.
The last show before
kick play a game, yeah,
is when we do Keys to Victory.
Yes, and today would be the Thursday night of year, the annual Thursday nighter for the Jacksonville Jaguars. At least this time it's not Tennessee that they're playing. Instead, it will be the Miami Dolphins. So,
I think they should win the game. I say should. They are quite capable of winning this game.
I've gotten a whole lot more nervous about it in the last 24 hours.
The Lambeau thing really worries me because he's so automatic. You just assume, well, every kick is good. Every single one is going to be good with Josh Lambeau, particularly in this stadium where he's made like 40 in a row. Some kind of crazy nonsense. D-Rock, what does your gut tell you about the availability of DJ Chark tonight?
Looking a little better, maybe. But I would not be surprised if Doug goes conservative and holds him out just to make sure, give him an extra, 8, 9, 10, 11 days to heal up for the big game against the Bengals. But, I mean, I think he probably could go.
Circle tonight. The calendar.
Yes, circle the calendar.
Circle the date.
But, I mean, who's getting the number one pick.
He hit the ground hard on that catch, that 45-yard catch.
Yeah, he did.
And been sore all week. You just have to hope that he's not going to get a pain-killing injection from the Chargers.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, holy cow.
Yeah, we heard it. Was that just as we were going off yesterday? My goodness, man. Collapse lung. Can't sue the team doctor, apparently. Is that a new thing?
I don't know.
Apparently it is.
I don't know.
I seem to recall a time when you could sue the team doctor.
Didn't, there's a former Jags player.
That's exactly what I'm talking about here.
Who was it?
It was Jeff, come on. I can't think of the name. It'll come to me.
I hope so.
It will.
Because I can't remember either.
Oh, no. It won't take long. But, yeah, you can't. Apparently you can't do that anymore. Or I don't know what the parameters are on that. But Tyrod Taylor, man, who knows what's going to happen with his career here. He could lose the starting gig for one thing.
Who knows?
I really do think that's why Anthony Lynn.
There it is.
Jeff Novak. There you go. I knew it was a Jeff.
Thank you, Google.
There you go. I think he had to come out and say it's his job because he knew that the team is the one that put him in this position.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll see how it's going to work out for the Chargers. Who knows what DJ Chark's availability is going to be tonight? We're not sure, and it feels like it is going to be a game-time decision for him. Maybe we get word this afternoon that he's going to give it a go, but we just don't know. Brandon Linder's out, and I know Tyler Shatley played well last week, but Brandon Linder's out.
He's supposed to be your best offensive lineman.
No Lambeau. Do they win week one without Josh Lambeau? Seriously. Do they win week one without Josh Lambeau?
Probably not.
Just the last 24 hours, I was really confident about this game coming into Monday, Tuesday, yesterday, with everything that was going on. I was like, maybe I need to pump the brakes for a second. Like, I still think they can win, probably even should win tonight, but I don't feel as confident about it as I did a day ago.
I don't either. I don't know. I mean, I think I'm going to make two predictions today, the DJ Chark, no DJ Chark prediction. I know they've been spreading it around, but he still draws attention of opposing defenses regardless. So, you know, not having him out there, we'll find out, just how effective they can be. Now, that's assuming he's not out there. We don't know that. You know, we'll find out 90 minutes before kickoff tonight.
Should be more Visca for E in there if he's not playing.
Should be.
Should be happy, right, E?
Oh, you talking about my guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Talking about his guy there. He's taking a nap. He's taking a post-breakfast nap in there right now.
Well, that nine chicken biscuits that we all got to eat, man. We're all tired there.
He said the name Visca was like the bat signal went up.
Yes, Visca. It was. He's got his Gardner Minshew shirt on. What do you got in there, Minshew Mania?
You already know, man.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking
baby.
You.
Gardner right. Minshew, baby.
G15.
Yeah, my dog. Jacksonville Jesus, baby. Come on.
What happens if they lose tonight? What are you wearing tomorrow?
Gardner Minshew.
All right.
That's my quarterback.
I just want to make
Gardner sure. Gardner Minshew.
I hope so tonight. So we'll talk about it tonight. What do the Jags need to get done to win this football game against the Miami Dolphins? Again, just because they're 0-2 does not mean they're pushovers. They played really tough against Buffalo this past week. We'll see if the Jags are able to get by them tonight. So you can get in today and talk about it with us. On Twitter, you can answer your keys to victory and also the Josh Lambeau poll about your level of concern at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at ESPN DeRocco, at IME to the T.
Come on.
We'll hear from Doug Marrone and Miles Jack, who had some pretty pointed words for his own level of play last year. So we'll get to that coming up today. We've got our week 3 draft, so we can find out who I will cast the injury spell on in the National Football League. And we'll march towards kickoff tonight. You'll have coverage all day long of the Jags and the Miami Dolphins right here in your home for Jaguar football. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, D-Rock and E.T. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All Jags, all NFL. Jaguars today on 1010XL.
Do you want to even hear if the NFL apologized to the Jacksonville Jaguars? Did Doug say that yesterday? I know he was asked about whether or not they sent
He submitted some stuff, but he wasn't going to say anything after that unless we all wanted to chip in and pay the fine.
Yeah.
Which we did not.
Right. In terms of Jadeveon Clowney lining up in the neutral zone on multiple occasions.
Yes. If you read between the lines from what Doug was saying, the NFL admitted they goofed it.
Yeah, and I heard people saying after the fact, well, this is something you gotta tell the referee that. The referee's job is to
see that. They are standing on the line of scrimmage, hands on knees, staring down the line to look for this exact thing.
Right.
There's no reason to miss that.
But Clowney does have a reputation of doing this.
Yes.
You know, of trying to get a jump of a few. We're talking about a game of inches. How many times does a quarterback get the ball away just of that millisecond before he gets crushed?
Right.
Well, that millisecond may be the difference. Maybe a 6-inch difference, 4-inch difference, whatever the case may be.
Now, Clowney wasn't the one who pressured him on this play.
No,
Juwan
not
Taylor
on this play.
Did a good
right.
job. Right.
No, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It should have been called. And, like, the judgment calls in the NFL will generally even out, I believe. I
Pass
really
interference
do believe
kind
that.
Of stuff.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. You can kind of get that back later in a game or something. The referee knows if they messed up and all. But those are the ones that you cannot miss. Like, you can't miss that. You can't be the official staring at the guy as he's crossing the goal line with the ball in his hands and seeing it loose or seeing it and blow the call. You can't be staring right at it and blow it. And that's what they did here twice. And it really is inexcusable.
Yeah. PFT did a little write-up on it this morning basically saying, NFL pass rushers, you're now basically obligated to line up in the neutral zone until they call it on you. Because they're only supposedly calling things that are clear and obvious this year. I don't know how much more clear and obvious those occasions were. I mean, it's you're either there or you're not. You're either over the line or not. And he was well over the line.
Yes, he was.
Particularly on that last play. And it doesn't matter if he impacted the play or not. It's like, you know, false start. Well, the play wasn't going to that side. Who cares? It's an automatic call. And it should be 5 yards first down.
Yeah, there's no guarantee they win the game.
No, but they were denied the opportunity.
Right. And my thing would be, too, don't go down 14-0, and then that's moot. You know what I mean? You can't point to that and go, that's the reason they lost the game. There's all kinds
right,
of stuff
you,
that
don't
happens.
Throw the interception.
Right.
You know, if you didn't throw the
exactly.
interception.
I mean,
well, yeah,
this is one blatant thing that should have been called.
Absolutely, right.
And
so,
that's the issue, is that they're missing a blatant call.
We'll take care of our business, and right. you take care of your business. And if you took care of your business, we would not have – the interception wouldn't have counted.
Right.
Happens all the time.
It does.
How many times – I mean – just, for instance, with that pass interference call, right? Oh, they're off the field. Jags stop
right.
them. Third and long. Going to get the ball. Oh, wait a minute. Late flag coming in. Well, you know, you could say, well, Tennessee should have completed the pass, you know? I mean, really. I
right.
mean, it's such a crazy argument.
It is. But just don't blow the obvious easy calls to make. That's all they're asking for.
Again, I don't, you know. There are other instances you can – there are things, you know, that you're responsible for in the course of a 60-minute game. It doesn't all come down to one call. But when it – in that instance, would have liked to have seen him obviously get another opportunity.
Right.
With, first and
10. No doubt. Should have been called. It's just – and that's what's frustrating for a guy like Doug. It's frustrating anyways. But, you know, he's fighting for his job. And to sit there and go, you know what? I don't need to be fighting the officials at the same time.
Right.
And – you know, I know it.
Yeah, because you don't get credit for that
right.
one down the line in contract negotiations.
Right. He's not going to go in to talk to Schott at the end of the year and go, you know what? We're 6-10, but we should have been 7-9 if the officials hadn't screwed us in week 2.
Right.
I mean, Schott's going to go.
Schott can go, all right, let's look at some of these wins.
Right.
And let's look at some of the calls you got in some of these wins.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, maybe you should have been down 14-0,
like,
Doug.
And over the long haul, you hope that those things even themselves out, but. You know, we were talking about this before the show, right? The movement towards being more aggressive on fourth down and going for 2-point conversions, because the numbers say if you're 51% successful on 2-point conversions, then you over the long haul, you should go for 2 every single time, because you're going to ultimately score more points than you would just kicking the extra point, even if you assume 100% makes on extra points, which is not the case anymore. But you don't play over the long haul. You don't play 10,000 permutations. You don't get to simulate the season over and over and over again to see if it evens out.
You miss all four two-point tries in week 1, but make all 4 in week 2. Okay,
bully for you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You're
it doesn't help
one.
You in week 1 because
right.
you lost the game by 4.
Right. But, I do like the idea of it. You know, in the big picture, it does make more sense math-wise. It's like when Bill Belichick decided to go for it instead of punting on 4th and short against Indianapolis a few years ago,
right?
With Peyton Manning, and I totally thought it was the right move at the time. You know, you can't precisely know what the odds are that Peyton Manning's going to go down at that point, but you feel pretty good the way they're moving the ball that they're probably going to get a game-winning field goal opportunity, I think is what the situation was. And if you get the first down, you win the game right there.
Right.
You know, so you're seeing that a lot more. Now you're hearing, funny, for the first time, coaches being criticized for not going for it.
Yep.
You know, Anthony Lynn didn't go for it on fourth down in his own territory against the Chiefs, and everyone's like, well, you know what? You got to blame it on Herbert. What about you? You didn't go for it on fourth down.
You punted to the Chiefs. Yeah.
It's like, man, I mean, football for basically most of 100 years would tell you to punt that football every single time. Wouldn't even be a question until the last 10 years or so, right? And maybe not even that long.
It used to be people had no tolerance, fans or whatever, had no tolerance, no faith, no desire to see any kind of gambling, which is what they would consider going for it on fourth down. Now it's almost like there's no place for conservative play in this game. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Fans don't want to see
People didn't, you know, it used to be crazy if you went for it from the other team's 40-yard line. Like, oh my gosh, you're going to go for it from here and you get stuck. You're going to give them the ball at the 40. You could pin them deep here. Right? And it's like pin them deep is what? One Mahomes to Tyreek Hill toss and they're right back where you didn't want them to be. So, you know, I look, there's no – if you win – you did the right thing, right?
That's
what it boils down to, ultimately. Let's hear from the head coach of the Jaguars, Doug Marrone. And he's got a young quarterback who's played quite well, really, since the moment he stepped onto the football field here in the NFL. He's had his ups and downs a little bit, Gardner Minshew, but obviously off to a hot start this year. Statistically, Doug Marrone asked yesterday why he feels young NFL quarterbacks are more ready right away for the pros than ever before.
I mean, you know, I don't know, maybe the college game and a pro game is closer now than maybe what it's been like, you know, in the early days. I'm not sure. I think a lot of terminology, there's a lot of carryover. I know that, you know, going back and looking at the colleges and talking to college players, you know, I know for me, I've seen a lot of carryover from terminology, which I think helps these players a little bit. You know, and I think, you know, football being full time, you know, instead of having to worry about class and do those things too, I think helps. And I just think it really depends upon each player.
That's always been the case, though. I mean, you get to the NFL, you're a full-time football player. But
sure.
I don't know how it was.
Full-time job in college now more than it's ever been, too.
When I was like 12, man, I couldn't watch a Big Ten game. Every Big Ten game felt like it was 6-3. It really did. I mean, you know, seriously, like I'd be like, oh, Michigan's on again. You know, it's like, all they did was run. At least that's what it felt like. Now it's like, pff, guys are throwing it all over the place. I mean, in high school back in the day, it was not uncommon for high school teams to never throw the ball.
Yep.
At all. Never once throw the ball. Now you find guys out there throwing for, you know, what a crazy. You would know the numbers better than me.
Oh, yeah. You'll have games where guys throw the ball 45 times.
With 12-minute quarters. That way. Yeah. Back in the day, right? Yeah. And you've got all these camps on your way up, all the, you know, and I mean, they're just more prepared than ever before, and it's just more acceptable now. I mean, things are more wide open in the college game. NFL teams are adopting some of those principles.
No doubt. And the rules are slanted more and more towards doing it.
Absolutely.
They protect the quarterback more than they've ever protected him. They hinder defensive guys from grabbing guys more than they've ever hindered it. Like, it's just, it's a game that has been designed for offense, and quarterbacks, even undersized guys, can come into the league now and survive. Scramble guys can come into the league and survive. And they 10 years ago, they couldn't do it. Like, they just get killed.
Yeah, everything lines up for them.
Yes, absolutely it does.
But you got to have the talent to take advantage of it,
obviously.
Doubt. And that's not to say anybody can do it. Clearly, anybody can't do it.
No, and I'm glad we're living in an era where Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray can work. I like it. Like, I prefer this to what we had 25 and 30 years ago, and I hope it continues in this kind of direction. Doug Marrone yesterday was also asked about one of the injuries we've already talked about. We know Brandon Linder is not going to be available, at least for tonight. He was asked about his confidence in Tyler Shatley stepping in.
Hi. You know what I'm saying? I think that we've seen him. You know, I think he's proven that. You know, I think he gives you a little bit greater confidence. He's a veteran guy. You know, he's done this before where he's filled in, where he's played. He's played at a really good level, and I've got a lot of confidence in Tyler, you know, being in that position. So I'm not concerned about that.
He's funny. Hi. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, no, what does that mean? Oh, it's you have high confidence? You know what I'm saying? No, I don't know. I don't understand the definition of the word. It's just such a funny little verbal quirk that Doug has. To me, it's funny anyway. So, look, Tyler Shatley, fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
like you said, Tony, Brandon Leonard's the best offensive lineman. That's what we're told repeatedly. He's the best offensive lineman they have. All right, let's say there's not that great a drop-off, right, for one game. What if you get another injury? That's the thing. You know, the depth on this team just doesn't exist.
Most teams don't have depth on the offensive line.
Granted. So. But, I mean, that's still, you know, you could have high confidence in Shatley, but now that's one less guy available to you, you know, because Shatley could plug in a number of spots if somebody goes down in a particular game.
He gets hurt, it's A.J. Cann snapping. And then now you've got holes at two spots.
Right.
Because you got to figure out who's going to be your right guard. Is it Bartz or is it Will Richardson?
Doug asked about the backstory. The new kicker is Brandon Wright. He's a rookie. So let's hear about the tale of how he got here.
Yeah, the guy that we brought into camp, we really liked him. You know, we wanted to spend some time with him. And then we had to make a move, you know what I'm saying, to fill up a roster spot. And we wound up letting him go, knowing that, you know, in the back of our minds, we were going to bring him back to basically – thinking about the COVID situation, you know, if something happened to one of our kickers, and unfortunately, you know, Josh went on the IR, but I think I'd have a whole lot different type of anxiety if we just took someone off the street and hasn't been, but he's been here kicking. I've been watching him kick. So I got full confidence in him and any phase that we use him. That's the one thing great about the kid is he can do all three. He can kick off, he can kick, field goals. He can punt. I mean, and he has a really, really strong leg, and he's really athletic.
Well, let's hope he's really accurate as well, right? I mean, look, far be it for me to judge him. I've never seen the guy kick.
Never seen him kick.
So I'm not going to judge what he can do. I mean, if you judge Lambeau based on what he did with the Chargers before he got here, you'd be like, why are you picking up this guy? So, right. You know, kickers are a funny breed, and he may go out there tonight and be fantastic.
Yeah, and I know you were out at training camp every day, D-Rock, but I doubt you were paying attention to whoever was kicking behind Josh.
You're like, camp leg. I'm sure that's
exactly
what you called him.
What we said. But the funny thing was, I was talking about it with somebody, and it's like, this guy here probably is one of those guys that needed a preseason game too, because if he kicks pretty well in a preseason game, maybe he ends up on an active roster somewhere, because kickers get recycled like you would not believe.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
The Jags are incredibly lucky.
Or maybe he's
not
Corey
even have
Bittman.
To worry about it.
The Jags get like a fifth round pick for him because he looks so good in the preseason, then he's terrible from that point forward.
Yeah. We'll see how lucky they feel tonight. As he will be the kicker, at least for the next 3 weeks, if he can do the job well enough to maintain the job for that long. We'll see. It starts tonight against Miami for him. One thought on the Miami Dolphins before we hit the break here, but Doug Marrone was asked about Ryan Fitzpatrick on the other side.
I would think that Fitzpatrick's going to start the game. I could be wrong. But Fitzy, obviously, we've known him. He's been in the league so long and have a ton of respect for him. You know, he's a guy that you haven't – you're not going to be able to fool him. He's a guy that has proven that he can get on a real hot roll, you know what I'm saying, and really light it up.
There's been no indication that Ryan Fitzpatrick's not going to be the starter for the Miami Dolphins tonight. But Doug was asked about just, preparing for the possibility. How much time did they have to spend, if at all, that Tua Tagovailoa might play?
You know, with Tua, there's not a lot. You got to go back and, you know, there's no preseason, and you got to look at what he did in college. And, you know, obviously he's an outstanding football player, and you know, we just got to be ready, you know, in case they make a move or, you know, something unfortunately happens to Fitz, or you just got to be prepared for all of that.
He throws it with the wrong hand, Doug. Beware of that.
I have a great Ryan Fitzpatrick stat if you want it.
I would love it.
From Elias.
Please.
Since he is the only quarterback since 1950 with at least one win as a starting quarterback for five different teams against another single opponent. He's beaten the Jaguars five times with five separate teams.
Wow. I knew he was 5-3 against Jacksonville. I didn't realize it was with five different teams.
With Cincinnati, Buffalo, Tennessee, Houston, and who am I missing?
The Jets. He's the poor man's Philip Rivers, sort of, right? I mean, right? He's the journeyman Philip Rivers. Yeah. But they got Philip Rivers in week one, so... who's to say they won't get Ryan Fitzpatrick tonight?
That's still kind of crazy when you think about it.
It is. That's very
crazy.
One
is a starter with five teams.
How many guys play for five teams? Never mind. Start games for five teams. Never mind. Start games against the same opponent with five teams and then win them all.
Right.
Yeah. Or at least win one of each. Yeah. I mean, how many guys have even had that opportunity, I wonder, to start against the same opponent with five different teams? Can't imagine.
I can't. Yeah.
It's very
not
many.
Very much.
It's got to be single digits, you would think.
And apparently they can't figure it out before 1950 because the positions were so weird or something like that. But let's just say
Johnny off the milk truck came in.
Right.
And
for the last 70 years, he's the only guy to do it.
Gotcha. All right. Let's get Skeven before we hit the break here. I wanted to throw in a game day comment. Skeve, how are you this morning?
What's up, Mike?
What's up?
Hey, I am very, very, very concerned about the kicker stuff because if he's only 12 for 18 in college, I actually never seen him just like you guys. I'm really concerned about the field goals, and I'm very concerned about the extra point. If it comes down to like 3 points, you know, a field goal or whatever, we're in trouble because I hope it doesn't come up to that. I hope we have a great game and we win tonight because we definitely need this game. And I'm just very concerned about the kicker, man. And I hope Lambeau comes back in 3 weeks. I haven't heard about you guys about saying anything like that. I don't know if it was a 3-week injury, but I hope he comes back fast because I want Lamborghini to come back as soon as possible.
All right. Thank you, Saqib. I think we all would like a healthy Josh Lambeau back. Why wouldn't you? He was the most accurate kicker in the NFL last year. So I know this. It's at least a 3-week injury.
Yeah, he's got to be on the IR for 3 weeks.
At minimum.
Right,
three
minimum.
Weeks. So, you know, they're not counting on him anytime soon. D-Rock, do you have any indication as to what, you know, what they're thinking about the length of the absence?
No, at this point, no. I think they're just going to kind of see how it goes. I do not have any info on the severity of it and whether this is going to be a 3-week stay or a 6-week stay. But it's a hip, and he's a kicker. It's not a hip flexor. So that seems to, you know, maybe it's part of, you know, partly a groin injury as well, but we'll have to see. But it's not a hip flexor, so we're okay in terms of saying that for sure.
Gotcha. All right.
It's ruined the bathroom break.
Mm.
Jaguars would score a touchdown. You're like, extra point.
Yeah, you just go. You just go. Now you got to wait the extra few
seconds.
No, I got
to hold it.
Now I got to see what's going to happen with Brandon Wright. I have no idea.
Look, I'm with Saqib, though. I mean, 12 of 18 doesn't inspire a ton of confidence, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. What I don't want is I don't want this kid to be Seth Meyers 2.0, all the talent in the world, but it takes him a little while to figure things out in the National Football League, which, you know, hey, welcome to the big time. You know, mm-hmm. We're expecting big things out of you right now. There's no time for a slow ramp up here. But Jason Myers. I do
Jason
that all
Myers
the time.
Ended up in the Pro Bowl a couple years ago, and
I know.
Had a great year.
I know, and he's still kicking very well for Seattle right now. So yeah, Seth Myers.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Steven Goskowski in college at Memphis was 70 of 92, which is 76%.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it does make me feel better.
Well, I mean,
I understand.
With New England, Goskowski was fantastic.
Sure.
Except for the last year, and then you had some struggles this year.
Seth Meyers struggled early hosting.
Hosting.
You didn't let me finish. And now he's really
I ruined
developed
your joke.
Into quite the
I'm
host.
Sorry.
You did.
I ruined your joke.
You did. All right, we'll come back. Let's hear from Miles Jack on the other side, off to a very good start to his season. And what's your level of concern with the kicking situation with Josh Lambeau on injured reserve? You can answer that as one of our questions of the day. The other one asking for your keys to victory. 641-1010 if you want to get in on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, D-Rock, and E.T. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I know Miles Jack talked about yesterday working out in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
In his training regimen. You see Aussie Jag this morning, Craig?
I did not.
He's got the teal hair, the teal shades, the teal tongue. He has it all going on down under. So he is ready to go. And I don't know what the usually his alarm, he sets it for like 2:15 in the morning to watch like a 1 o'clock game. So
good for him.
I guess it'd be like in the early AM for him over there tonight when they kick things off. That's my guess.
Yeah, I think it's like 10 o'clock.
10 in the morning?
Yeah, I think he said.
Nice.
Yep.
That's not a bad get up, little breakfast. That's what I loved, honestly. Those 9:30 kicks when the Jags are in London.
Phenomenal.
Oh, I'm like, can we do this every year?
I was thinking, even if they're not in London, can we just do the
yes.
one that would have been in London
exactly.
at 9:30 in the morning? Get me home. I am so looking forward to being home to watch football all day Sunday.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
And not, you know, just not having to take notes or anything, just watch. And
it's funny because people don't realize, they think we watch football all the time. It's like when you cover a specific team, that like when I covered the Gators the same way, you see that team's game then, and if you get home, maybe you watch another game at night, but you know, and to keep up with the rest of the league, you got to spend some time looking around, reading stuff, watching high. I mean, it's work.
We keep up with enough during the course of the game. Tony and I are sitting in there in the studio. You know, you got the game on.
Well, you got like nine other TVs.
Right, we got the Red Zone channel on, so you see what's happening. You're keeping up with scores, and then usually get home, catch the tail end of the 4 o'clock window, watch Sunday Night Football. Now I'm on the air for all of Monday Night Football, so I'm watching it and I'm talking about it. But it's different than being able to sit there and whatever.
Right.
You know?
You get a feel
off.
For like a game, like how a game is flowing. The Red Zone doesn't give you that. You just you know, the scoring plays.
Yeah, but you can keep up with what's
going on. If there's news, like I knew when everyone was getting hurt because they were showing it to me on TV. I was like, here goes Saquon.
There's another
one.
There
goes Bosa.
Frankly, like, I don't have Red Zone at the house because I'm never at the house on a game day, so I don't really care. So if I were home and like I'll just watch whatever game's on TV. So it's not like I'm watching every game that's being played anyway. I'm going to see a couple. Kansas City, Baltimore, Monday Night Football.
Oh boy!
Yeah.
Yes.
Years ago, we were switching to DirecTV, and the guy was like, "You know, we're running a special. I can give you NFL Sunday ticket free for a year." And I'm like, dude, you got to come stronger than that. And he's like, why? I'm like, I work every Sunday. That is useless to me.
Right.
You got to come stronger with some
Ask
other
my
guy.
Wife. Yeah. Does she want to watch all the NFL
honey,
games?
Honey.
You better come with a better discount than that, pal.
Something more enticing. All right. If you want to get in, 641-1010. In the meantime, let's get to a Miles Jack speaking yesterday to the assembled throng of Jacksonville media. And was very pointed in his criticism of himself and how he played last year at middle linebacker.
They told me pretty much that they were going to make the switch, and I was cool with it completely. I understood, like, their mind frame and everything. And, like, obviously, like, last year, I mean, it is what it is. I underperformed. I felt like it was due to my injury, but at the end of the day, it's a performance-based job, and, like, I felt like I completely, like, shit the bed last year. So I completely understood what they were going for.
There was a beep in there. I think he made the bed. Was that what he went with? I don't know. Didn't play well.
He shat lead the bed.
He certainly did. He certainly did. And, you know, like you said, performance-based business, whatever the reason, injury or
no
otherwise.
Doubt.
He did have a huge bone chip taken out of that knee because I actually saw a picture of it, and it looked like a good 2-centimeter chip. So he was running around with a bad knee last year.
That's major.
Yeah.
2 centimeters?
Well, maybe. Well, I mean, it was pretty big. What is that? Like maybe a centimeter then.
Yeah.
It's still a pretty big chip.
Yeah, it's a pretty big chip. I would think any size little chip in there, you know, feels magnified by.
Yeah. So that wasn't good.
By a million. All right. Before we get back to Miles,
sure.
If you're calling internationally, we'll bump you ahead. Cristiano checking in this morning from Brazil. Good morning, Cristiano. How are you?
Hello, Mike. How are you doing?
We're doing well, buddy. What's on your mind this morning?
Hi, Tony. Hi, Durock.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on?
Mike, first of all, I'd like to ask you something. Who won the breakfast bowl last week?
That was D-Rock. That was D-Rock. Look, what? It's bad enough that I have to buy... But now you got to prop up D-Rock, Cristiano.
That's the first thing that he has. That's great.
You're unbelievable, brother. Yes, D-Rock won it. Congratulations to Mike DiRocco, Cristiano. Oh. I'm happy for him.
You are an international loser, Mike Dempsey. That's
I
all I know.
What can I tell you?
Not at all. No, Mike's not a loser. He's a good friend.
It's all good, man. We're just having fun, Cristiano. So what are your thoughts on the game tonight?
I'm excited about the game. I'm excited about... what the Jaguars are doing so far in the season. It's early in the season, but as I said the other day, I have never been so excited after a loss as I was last Sunday. Maybe we have found our quarterback, and it's all about the QB. You know?
It really is. Yeah. Go ahead.
And that's it. I'm excited. Today is my wedding anniversary, so it's... I have two reasons for a celebration today, and Thursday night football and my wife. So I'm trying to put them together. I'm
not
trying to convince my
wife. Not necessarily in that order, Cristiano. Not necessarily in that order. No. As far as she knows. No. Anyway. Well, congratulations, man.
Yeah, man, congrats.
How many years is it for you?
15.
15. That's a good one, man. Nice job, Cristiano. We wish you the best and the misses as well. Hopefully the Jags will help you celebrate with a victory tonight.
Yes, I hope so.
Well, listen, brother, we appreciate you calling in. You may as well call back next week because I'm on a cold streak. And find out who won. It probably won't be me then either, Cristiano. But hopefully for all of our sakes, it'll be the Jags winning tonight, buddy.
Yeah, we hope so. I hope so. And reason for optimism. It's what I see about the season so far.
Well, good. I think you're in there with a lot of Jaguar fans. Cristiano, have a great wedding anniversary. Wish the best from us to your bride, and we'll talk again soon. All right, man?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Checking all the way from Brazil. Mm-hmm. That's a dedicated man right there, Cristiano. He's a good guy. He brought us the statue of Christ the Redeemer in teal with in a kind of a jaguar robe.
I think that's sacrilegious.
Is it?
I'm not sure.
Why would the Savior not be a fan of the Jaguars? Huh? Why? Why? You know,
he does love the underdog, the downtrodden.
Right.
Yes, he does.
I'm sure he loves all teams, and I'm sure there's a version for all out there. But I thought that was pretty cool. That's actually – it was in the – the broadcast. Is it still in the studio?
Nope. It's at my house.
Oh, it's at your house. You took it home.
I did.
All right, because they were cleaning stuff out of the studio.
Yeah, they were cleaning stuff out. I was like, this is going with me.
All right, there you go.
Yeah. Good it stuff. Is proudly displayed in the living room of my home. Yes.
That's awesome.
Tony's going to burn. All right, where are we at, Tone, here?
We are at Miles Jack. We heard him talking about what happened with him at middle linebacker last year. He also was willing to speak about making the move to the weak side linebacker spot as well.
No, we don't have that. All right. Ida, we have any of this? We do? That was two.
Two.
That's the nature of the business. So when they did that, I was like, okay, I'm a will now, and I'm just going to continue working hard, get my body right, get healthy, and just show everybody that I can still do what I've been doing.
All right, a couple more here before we got to hit the break. Miles Jack talking about his reaction to the Jags signing Joe Schobert earlier this offseason.
And then to have another baller with me and Joe, I thought it was better because I feel like as a linebacker, when you got somebody who's, you know, up to your caliber or just understands you guys can speak the same language, it makes your job that much easier. So it's really a tandem job, and I really felt like them bringing Joe in, like, really made it a lot easier for me. So it was cool.
D-Rock, I mean, obviously the returns for Miles Jack have been spectacular. How do they feel Joe Schobert's played through a couple of weeks?
Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good. The communication, from what I understand, has been really, really good on the field. He's gotten guys in the right spot, and he's been in the right spot. He's made some plays. It's been everything that they had hoped at this point, those two working together. What are you smiling at me for?
I was thinking how wonderful it was that you scored the most points in the Breakfast Bowl last week.
He only asked that because I tweeted that out, by the way.
Did you?
Yes.
That's all right. I'm happy for you.
I said, call in and ask Mike who won the Breakfast Bowl last week. So,
and he did.
An international caller did it.
International from
Brazil. So all you people around town, that's just bad
on
you.
We love you, Cristiano.
Very bad on you.
Nobody likes you in town.
No.
From what I've heard.
That's what I hear.
That's what I hear.
I don't know.
On Twitter, anyway. One more here, Tone.
Yeah, one here from Miles Jack, who was just asked to explain the difference between playing on the weak side and playing in the middle.
I mean, like, obviously, Mike, you have way more communication responsibility, like getting guys lined up. But the alignments and pretty much playing on inside, I think you get a little bit more, like, buzz drops, which puts you on the outside in certain situations. But for the most part, you're kind of still in the mixture and everything. So you're kind of doing more scheme-wise, but it's really kind of similar. So it's like... It's kind of the same, if I'm making sense. I'm trying to make it make sense. But it's not too much difference. It's not too much, but a little bit.
Well, the production is different, and in a good way so far for Miles Jack. Hopefully that will keep up for he and Joe Schobert there. When we come back, we have This Date in Football, the gems from around the NFL, and we'll get back to Miles Jack talking about the offseason training that he did, and as DeRocco alluded to, the fact that he wasn't healthy last year and just what he was dealing with. So that's coming up, plus Breakfast Bowl Week 3 in hour number 2 with Tony Smith, Mike DeRocco, and E.T. I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, This Date in Football History.
All right, a few odds and ends from This Date in Football History. Let us get to the 1930 season. The Portsmouth Spartans defeated the Brooklyn Dodgers 12-0. The first NFL game played under lights. How about that? So night football came. As Portsmouth beat Brooklyn 12-0 on this date in 1930. In 1973, the St. Louis Cardinals' Jim Bakken set an NFL record at the time, kicking successfully 7 field goals in a 28-14 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do you guys know who has the record for most field goals in a game? What you got? Fairly recently.
Yeah.
It's Rob Baronis.
Right.
8 for the Tennessee Titans. Greg Zuerlein, Jason Sanders, Cairo Santos, Billy Cundiff, Shane Graham, Rich Carlos, Jason Myers with the New York Jets, and Chris Bonio all tied Jim Bakken with 7. So there you go, all the guys who have 7 or more field goals. Birthdays for this date include one of the great tight ends of all time. John Mackey was a second-round selection by the Baltimore Colts in 1963, 19th overall, spent 9 of his 10 NFL seasons with the Colts, made 5 Pro Bowls, was a 3-time first-team All-Pro, member of the All-1960s team, a Hall of Fame inductee in 1992, and a member of the NFL's 100th anniversary team as one of the 100 greatest players in league history. Mackey passed away in 2011 at the age of 69. He would have been 79 years old today. Also born in this date, another member of the NFL's all-time 100 team, Mean Joe Green, born 74 years ago in 1946. He was the 4th overall pick in the 1969 draft by Pittsburgh. Went on to win Associated Press Defensive Rookie of the Year, the 1972 and 1974 AP Defensive Player of the Year, the NFL Man of the Year in 79, a 10-time Pro Bowler, 4-time first-team All-Pro, 4-time Super Bowl champ, member of the All-1970s team, and a Hall of Fame inductee in 1987. Quite the resume for Mean Joe Green. Couple of guys with Jaguar connections born on this date. Happy 40th to LeBrandon Tofield, who was a 4th-round pick by the Jags in 2003 and in 5 seasons ran for 572 yards and 7 touchdowns, also caught a couple of touchdowns. And current Jaguar Timmy Jernigan turns 28 years old today. 1 assist officially on his statistics in the first 2 games of the 2020 season. That's what we have for you on this date in football history.
Now, gems around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jacks Beach.
Philadelphia Eagles rookie wide receiver Jalen Reagor will be placed on the team's injured reserve list with a UCL tear in his thumb that he suffered on Sunday during the first half of their game against the Rams. Reagor was able to stay in and finish the game playing through the injury, but it will keep him sidelined now for at least 3 weeks as he recovers. The Las Vegas Raiders have placed left guard Richie Incognito on injured reserve with an Achilles injury. The injury is not considered severe, but it will keep him out now for at least those 3 weeks. Wide receivers Julio Jones, Devontae Adams, and Michael Thomas were all unable to practice on Wednesday for their respective teams, leaving each of their statuses for Sunday as something to monitor for the next couple of days. And San Francisco head coach Kyle Shanahan said yesterday that running back Tevin Coleman will probably miss 4 weeks with a knee sprain, so he's likely headed for injured reserve. Shanahan also said that Nick Mullins will most likely start for the 49ers this weekend as Jimmy Garoppolo deals with an ankle sprain.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Tony. That's news from around the National Football League here. Momentarily, we'll get back to some of the comments of Miles Jack. Breakfast Bowl coming up. What's on your mind there, D-Rock?
Not a whole lot.
You look inquisitive.
I am just
there.
Enjoying Thursday here on Jaguars Today.
We are glad you are.
My favorite day.
All right, let's get to Cut 5E. Pick it up here with Miles Jack. Says last year was not a healthy season for him.
I truly, firmly believe this. Last year I wasn't healthy, and I forced myself to play through injury just because of, I just felt like I didn't want to get paid and then just, say I got an injury, which I did have an injury at the time. But This offseason, I went to Australia, like, found a trainer out there. I just been working my ass off, like, the whole offseason.
Yeah, just wasn't healthy last year for this football team, but was willing to play through that injury, and it's probably a good look for a guy who got paid. Probably wouldn't look great week 4 or 5 saying, nope, can't go.
Can't do it.
At this point, but he also got into his regiment working out, getting ready for this season and making the move to the weak side, says that he admits that when he got into the league, maybe he wasn't doing the right kind of workouts, probably not lifting weights, getting himself strong enough.
Just kind of really just refocused myself, got back to the basics. I really treated myself like a high schooler. It was just hitting the weights, trying to get myself stronger, get my body right, get my knee back right. And yeah, I just really feel like that's attributed to just my training and just getting back healthy and really hitting the weights this year, because I felt like when I kind of got in the league, I didn't really lift as much as I should have. So I kind of really went back to the basics, got my body right. And I feel like that's why I'm moving so quick and I'm able to hit linemen the way I can or make tackles or just fly around and just move fast. So really just getting I just really had to like refocus myself and recenter myself. And that's really what I focus on once I did my surgery and got right.
Shouldn't the team be kind of monitoring that?
I thought the same thing when I heard it yesterday. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. You didn't lift as much as you should have? Don't you have, like were you lying
on
the workouts?
And you got a $10-plus million-a-year contract extension.
You have to go work out in the weight room there. I mean, I know Milo's probably supervising you here. Did you cheat on reps?
I would assume that maybe he's talking about in the off season when he doesn't have to be
that
around.
That might be – you know, I would like further clarification on
right,
that.
Right, but, I mean, still, then you would assume the team monitors what all these guys do in the off season. Just seems odd to me.
He was always there at the OTAs and the optional workouts there, the voluntarily off-season conditioning program. He was always there, so it's interesting.
All right, so why did Miles Jack work out in Australia this off-season?
I was dating a girl who played soccer, professional soccer, and she actually was on loan to a team out in Australia. So I really just kind of like disappeared, went out with her, stayed there probably till what's the fifth month of the year, January, February, March, April, May to like May. I was out there for 5 months and was just literally training like every day. Like she would go do her soccer stuff. And then once she came, we'd swap the car and I'd go train for like 4 hours.
Yeah. It's always about a girl.
Yeah, it's always about a girl. And I don't blame him for having to count the months there. I do the same thing. I may not do it out loud, you know.
You do it in your head.
Like in my head, I'm like, January, February, okay, fifth month, May. Like I may do that kind of thing. Every now and then. He was also asked what was his training regimen while he was out there in Australia.
And I found this trainer out there, Piero Cerchetta. It's Advanced Athletes Performance. And basically, he just had me, like, doing all kind of just, like, French-Australian, like, track workouts. Just had me, like, squatting and doing all kind of crazy stuff, running hills, just really just getting weights, getting my body back right. And I really, like, attribute, like, my success this year and how I feel to what he had me doing. So I just kind of brought that back when I got back over here and got right.
Who knew French-Australian track workouts were a category?
Yeah.
But apparently they are.
By the way, I got to learn to mute my line when they're answering questions, because that was me laughing and saying something or whatever during those miles.
It wasn't you just now.
That was me yesterday, because I did not mute it while he was answering, and I was laughing about the fifth month.
Yeah, he did say he'd be going back out there to Australia, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess
it's working for him.
Yeah, I guess the relationship has staying power. All right, a couple more here from Miles Jack. What was his reaction to seeing so many teammates from the 2017 defense leave this team?
And this is the thing. Coach Marone had a vision from the start, and, like, obviously from the outside looking in, it looked like, okay, well, Jags are just getting rid of everybody. But Coach Marone, he just truly had a vision, and I think his vision was he just wanted he wanted guys that were – damn, how can I say this without making a headline quote? He just knew the people that he wanted in the building that he wanted, and he had his own vision.
Miles has no inner monologue.
No.
Like, he doesn't say anything in his head. He's just going to throw
I wish he had not censored himself, because clearly he didn't give you the full answer. He just
go
knew
ahead.
Who
no,
he
no,
wanted.
No, no.
He
say
knew
it.
Who he wanted.
Say it. Say it. Say
because
it.
We knew who he didn't want, and why didn't he want those guys? You know, that's what, you know, I'm assuming it's, you know, just something along the lines of guys who are all in it, all about the team, you know, which is kind of the refrain
we've
heard.
Me first.
Yeah, that whole thing that we've heard all offseason.
Yeah. So. He was also, Miles Jack was asked about why he believes in Coach Doug Marrone going forward.
I truly feel like he's got the right plan. You know, he's really trying to build this team atmosphere where as long as we got each other and we can, you know what I mean, lock arms and stick together through the highs and lows. You guys have seen it. Like, we've gotten down early against the Colts. They came down, punched us in the mouth 7-0, and then we fought back and won that game. You saw the Tennessee game. They got up on us. They ran a nice play on the first play of the game. Then they got up on us. It was 14-0 before we knew it. But teams on the pass that I've been on, it kind of gets ugly once we get down. But this team, we just know that, okay, we're a team. Like, we can depend on the offense a little bit, and the offense can eventually depend on the defense. We got to give them a little bit more, but they can depend on us.
Well, hopefully a lot more. But
I'm just laughing for the years that Miles has been here. Like, the idea of when you get down 7 thinking the game is over. Yeah, it probably was.
Yeah.
You know, with the guys they've had playing quarterback here, it's been, we're done.
Unless the defense was going to score.
Yeah.
Maybe multiple times.
Yeah, and you can understand the frustration on that side of the ball. You know, where it's like 2018, they played well enough on defense to win a bunch of games. They couldn't get first downs.
It was awful.
You know, it was just absolutely terrible. And now you get down 14 points and you look over there, it's like, oh, Gardner's got us. Right? Like, that's already permeating the locker room. Says a lot about Gardner.
It does, but let's hope that Gardner doesn't get us back in, and then they look and go, oh, great, we got to overcome 14 again, right? So this defense needs to step up in a big way. Let's not let Mike Gesicki go for 63 yards on the opening play tonight. How about that as
progress.
A start? You know, all right, finally.
Unless you take him on your fantasy team today in the Breakfast Bowl.
I would never do that. I'm not ET.
So you don't want to help the Jags?
I'm not gonna pick players that play against
the
Jags.
Because
I know he says he has ulterior motives, but I know he's really rooting for those guys. So I don't believe anybody.
It's all about wins and losses, baby.
Right. So you know, no, I will not be taking Mike Gesicki tonight. But you're welcome to if you want to. Last one from Miles Jack, why he feels his team is more like a true team.
It's really like we get in a halftime and everybody's just like, okay, tighten up, because we just don't want to disappoint not only the guys next to us on defense, but the guys on offense, the guys on special teams. So it's really like a family environment that he's built. And I think you guys can see that on Sunday, the way we play and just the effort. And even when things go bad, we're still in it. We're still throwing punches and still fighting. So it's really cool. And I think his vision is coming to fruition and you guys can kind of see it. It's really going to be special, I feel like.
No, let's hope so. All right, 1-1, chance to be 2-0, but that doesn't matter now. Chance to be 2-1 after tonight. Coming back on the other side, we'll find out if Mike DiRocco or ET takes Mike Gesicki. I don't think Tony will, but you never know. We'll find out how that goes. Breakfast Bowl Week 3 coming up next. Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, D-Rock, and ET, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here. Cannot say enough good things about Pella Windows and Doors. They have the highest quality products, the strongest limited warranties in the industry, constant innovation and design, and they just flat out look amazing. But don't just take my word for it. Consumer Reports still has Pella rated number one in the three main categories of wood, vinyl, and composite windows. So why not go with the best? Call them today or visit the Pella showroom. Be sure to ask about the latest hurricane and impact-resistant windows. That's Pella Windows and Doors right there on Phillips Highway. And tell them Mike sent you.
Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios.
JOI, where the pros go.
I'm Holt Harrell. At Harrell & Harrell, we work hard for our clients, and hard work gets results. If you've been injured, let us work hard for you. Harrell & Harrell, 251-1111. Don't settle for less than you deserve. Offices, Jacksonville.
Many wonder, why has Mike Merritt's heating and air been so
this month, which is represented by the gold ribbon. Go gold this September with the Tom Coughlin J Fund to help our neighbors and community members tackling this devastating disease. Visit tcjfund.org/gogold for more information.
Breaks for less is what we do. We know drums, rotors, pads, and shoes. If there's a squeal in your wheel, come see the best. 733 Stop.
Breaks for less.
all we do
are breaks for less.
To celebrate the reopening of Stream Song Blue and Red, we are bringing together the best greens in golf and the game's most coveted putter. On October 1st, Stream Song will debut Mach 1, the best putting service in golf. Book your Stream Song Stay and Play 36 now and receive a Titleist Scotty Cameron Special Select 2020 putter of your choice plus head cover. Two nights stay in Stream Song's Lakeside Lodge, a round of golf on both Stream Song Blue and Red. Packages available October 1st to November 29th. Call them at 866-775-9086 or go to StreamSongResort.com.
I'm Hayes Carline. I'm not a lawyer, but I play one on radio. Listen to my closing argument presented by the personal injury law firm of Harrell & Harrell weekdays on The Frangie Show. It's like Matlock, but meaner and about football.
This 1010XL 92.5 FM hour is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 904-600-4000. That's 904-600-4000. Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars today on 1010XL.
All right, here's what D-Rock did last week. He drafted Dak Prescott, went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. He drafted Christian McCaffrey while the getting was good.
Mm-hmm.
He drafted DeAndre Hopkins when the getting's always good. He had Tyler Higbee, who scored 3 touchdowns, and I don't even think Adam Thielen did a whole lot for him last week. But he put up 119 last week. Took it down. You are the leader overall now, D-Rock. How do you feel about this?
I've got a couple of 40-point games in me. No worries at all. I will not be here for long. I'm enjoying it while it lasts because we all know it's not going to.
But who in second, though?
Can't really tell.
Ooh.
Can't really tell.
Ooh.
This. Can't tell, E.T. I had last. I had fourth. So I'm in top four for the second week in a row. Not good. First pick belongs to me, followed by Tony Smith. E.T., D-Rock, you cannot select a player twice all season long. Once a player is taken, nobody else can have him in that week. So I will have Alvin Kamara, and you will not.
Oh.
That's what I'm going to start with.
Okay.
Right there. A lot of ways I could have gone there.
But that's, yeah.
So sorry to all you Alvin Kamara owners. Apologies in advance when he comes down with something.
Drew Brees is on line
Sunday
one,
Night
Mike.
Football. Drew Brees has no arm strength to reach line one.
Yes. I will go with Miles Sanders.
That would have been the other play right there. Okay, Miles Sanders it is, E.T.
I'm going with Austin Eckler.
Austin Eckler. Okay. I think got three running backs off the board. D-Rock, get back-to-back picks here.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kyler Murray.
Okay. You've had back-to-back picks before, by the way.
I know.
Usually
it's
not at this end of the draft.
And I will go with Dalvin Cook.
Cook. All right, so everybody's got at least one running back. You can play a flex, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and a flex. E.T., who are you going with?
I'm going with Nick Chubb.
Chubb, okay. That's your flex for the week. Tony?
Ooh. I will go Jerick McKinnon.
McKinnon, all right. Tony getting McKinnon in and what may be his one good week. Could be a Jeff Wilson week for the San Francisco 49ers. I'm going to go Allen Robinson. If you can't do it against Atlanta, you can't do it.
Right.
And I'm going to go with Mike Davis in my flex from the Carolina Panthers. Get him while the getting's good, I suppose. Got to get those starting running backs when they emerge. Tony Smith.
Let's see. Let's go Travis Kelce.
Kelce against Baltimore on Monday Night Football. E.T.
Amari.
Amari Cooper off the board. D-Rock, get two more here. Got Kyler and Cook.
Yes, I'm writing this down. Sorry.
It's all right.
I'm going to go with Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
And let's go with Mark Andrews.
Andrews, all right. A lot invested in Monday Night Football so far. E.T., need a quarterback or a tight end here?
Mr. Darren Waller, come on down.
Darren Waller. Okay, E.T.'s chasing those points. Tony, quarterback or a wide receiver?
Let's go Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley. Okay. That was interesting that you went Ridley there. I'm going to go with Russell Wilson, quarterback, and a tight end. And a lot of ways I could go here. I'm going to go. It's always tough call to know which one. I'm going to go Zach Ertz. Ertz it is. Quarterback, Tony.
Do it.
Go ahead and get Gardner Minshew, man.
Yeah, that's what he's thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. I'm debating between two guys here. I'll go Gardner.
Minshew. ET, quarterback.
Tom Brady.
Brady. And flex for you, D-Rock.
I'm gonna go with James Robinson. How about that?
All right. James Robinson it is. All right, here's what we've got this week. I've got Russell Wilson, Alvin Kamara, Allen Robinson, Zach Ertz, and Mike Davis. Tony's got Gardner Minshew, Miles Sanders, Calvin Ridley, Travis Kelce, Jerick McKinnon. ET's got Tom Brady, Austin Eckler, Amari Cooper, Darren Waller, and Nick Chubb. And D-Rock's got Kyler Murray, Dalvin Cook, Tyreek Hill, Mark Andrews, and James Robinson.
What a little jag tonight, huh? How about me?
Yeah, well, how about that? I've already used James Robinson. Couldn't use him.
Yeah.
But I like him tonight. I like him in fantasy this week, you know, especially if DJ is a little bit banged up. But, I mean, you know, I really like him as long as the Jags can stay
in the game.
In any game. And so for the next month, I think it sets up pretty well for him. I don't think they're getting – if they get blown out in the next month, it's probably because the offense let him down. I mean, I can't presume that the defense is going to hold anybody down at this point in time, but all these games give the Jags a puncher's chance.
No doubt. Yeah, and he feels like a guy that's probably in that 20-25 point range every week, which is fine as the fantasy quarterback.
Oh, you mean it's where you would rank among running backs?
Yeah, I was debating hard between him and Dak. But
Minshew. We were talking about Robinson.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony's only concerned with his team,
though. I am.
So, it's all good. What do you expect from Minshew tonight, Mikey?
You know, I think that he's going to be up in that 250 to 300 range. A couple more touchdowns tonight. I think they're going to need to score some points. That's the thing. I mean, I think the Dolphins are going to go a little bit up and down the field here. So I think that they're going to have to score a little bit of points. And, you know,
you just think anyone's going to go up and down the field on them right now?
I do, until I see them not. I think they're giving up, 294 passing? They just gave up four touchdowns to Ryan Tannehill.
I understand.
So,
but they also had, you know, they've
been better against the run.
The feeling is that they focus so much attention on Derrick Henry, which you had to pick your poison. I don't think they're necessarily going to feel the same way about Myles Gaskin tonight.
Probably not. But Ryan Fitzpatrick can have those games where he is just lights out and you never know where it's coming. And you just wonder, is it going to be tonight on primetime? And you know, if they see Tua, if he stinks and they see Tua, then that changes everything. I'm kind of hoping that happens. I really want to see Tua.
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Tua, which would mean the Dolphins are struggling. But, you know, from a Dolphins perspective, short week, I don't think this is the week
I don't think
see
it will
Tua
either.
On the field,
right.
You know,
I think you ride
barring
with
an injury.
You think you ride with Fitzpatrick this week. Everyone was asking me, you think he'll make his first start? And I'm like, not this week. There's no way.
I mean, possible.
Next week.
Right,
maybe,
possible,
would be.
Right, because you got extra days and seeing how they would handle that, you know, if they go to 0-3. That's presuming the Jags win the game. If the Dolphins win, I think they stick with Fitzpatrick for at least the time being.
Yeah, I think tonight, too, Minshew, I'm not sure that they're going to go down the field a lot without Chark to really stretch it unless they decide to use Keelan Cole in that
right, we
position.
Don't know that they won't have Chark.
Right. I'm operating under the assumption that they won't at this point. Okay. If they do, how effective can he be? You know, with the ribs in the back, that's pretty painful. And like I joked about before, you don't want any kind of injection or anything like that. We certainly don't want to see that. But, you know, I don't know, you know, how much Keelan Cole will be a downfield guy for them if Chark is not there. I think that's who they would use because I think Shaviska is – or LaViska. Shaviska? LaViska.
That's a good one.
Shaviska.
Shaviska.
I was thinking Hasta LaViska in my head. Thank you, Frank Frangie.
Hasta Shaviska.
Hasta Shaviska.
Don't think about that, Frank.
Not at all.
Don't think about that tonight when he scores.
Exactly.
Hasta Shaviska will not come out of your mouth.
Yeah, I'm eager to see what his role is. Is it expanded? It's a short week. How much more can you give him? Because Jay Gruden was talking the other day about, look, we don't want to overload the kid. We don't want to make it too mental for him at this point. Just let him go out there and play. So, eager to see.
Yeah, I think we all are. I tell you, when we come back, we'll do kind of go around the table as we've been doing on Fridays with Tom McManus. We'll do keys to victory. So, have some in mind as we'll go around – a few loops to the table, and we'll look at what others have put forth for their keys to defeating the Dolphins tonight. Second question out there as well for you is your level of concern with Josh Lambeau going on injured reserve. So you can vote on that. We gave you four options on Twitter, at MD_1010XL. A reminder, we got a pair of tickets to the 2020 Lucas Oil Pro Motocross Championship coming up this Saturday, September 26th at the WW Ranch off 301. If you'd like to go to the 2020 Lucas Oil Pro Motocross Championship, all you have to do right now is be the fifth caller at 641-1010, and ET will hook those up for you. So be patient as we head to break. If it's ringing, just let it ring. He will get to you here quickly. But again, if you want to go to the 2020 Lucas Oil Pro Motocross Championship this Saturday, if you can't go, don't try to win the tickets. It's at the WW Ranch off of 301. Fifth caller right now at 641-1010. We'll get those tickets, and you will be on your way. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, D-Rock, and ET, Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jags, Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, coming down the stretch here of Jaguars Today, XL Primetime coming up. Tony, give us the proceedings this afternoon at 3 o'clock. What you got?
3 o'clock, it'll be Lauren Brooks, Hayes Carline, and myself, and we'll be on until we hand it off to you guys over the stadium at 5:20. So a little bit, 20 extra minutes for us.
Oh, is that what we're doing? Okay, I wasn't sure how that worked. You guys are doing the extra 20.
Yeah, we're doing the extra 20 minutes, and then we'll hand it off to you guys. Absolutely. But, yeah, we'll be on at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
All right, then JP and I will take over at 5:20 with a cast of many others, including you'll hear from Tony Boselli, Jeff Logman, Frank Frangie, John Osier, a bunch of coaches and players and what have you as we get ready for Jags and the Miami Dolphins. And one of the things we'll do, we'll talk about keys to the game, the keys to victory. That's what we talk about typically on a Friday with a Sunday game, but with the Thursday game, that's what our question of the day is. We'll read through some of your responses, but before we get to those and steal them from our astute listeners, let's give our own keys to victory. We'll just go around the table. These don't have to necessarily be in order of importance, just what you think something the Jaguars have to get accomplished or likely have to get accomplished in order to walk away with a victory over the Miami Dolphins tonight. And D-Rock, why don't you start us off?
Get some pressure on the quarterback. They're not doing that at all. They're one of the worst teams in the league in terms of pressure rate on the quarterbacks. I think it's just 15%. So that's got to change. Josh Allen's got to get going, and they've got to find some kind of push up the middle from somebody in the middle.
All right, so pressure on the quarterback. Why don't we go ET next up? Give us the key to victory for the Jaguars tonight.
Gruden, keep doing whatever it is that you're doing. Keep calling that offense. If you're being unpredictable, whatever you want to call it, keep doing that.
All right, more of the astute play calling of Jay Gruden.
Sure.
Tony Smith.
The Miami Dolphins, by the way, are giving up 10.2 yards per pass attempt.
That's
thus far this season. They're giving up a first down every time the opponent throws a football. To this point this season. Yeah, I mean, paging Josh Allen, paging this defense, it's eventually they're not going to be behind two scores at the beginning of the game. Hopefully that's what happens tonight. Score first. Let's see what this team looks like when they're not having to play from in a hole early on in a football
game. You take the ball if you
game.
Win the kickoff?
I do.
You
I
think
would.
They would?
I don't think they will. They will. No.
NFL kid, oh, we always want to have to open the second half. You know, people talk about, oh, you want that last possession of the first half and the first possession of the second half. You steal a possession. No, you don't. You have the last possession of the first half because the other team got the ball first, so it was even in the first half then, and you start with the ball first in the second half, and who's to say it won't be even in the second? You
Everybody
know what I mean?
Loves the double up. The
they
points
do,
at the end
but
of the first and the points
it's
at the
psychological,
beginning of
the
second.
Though.
It is.
That's it all is. It is. It's not, it doesn't give you an extra opportunity. It
nope.
Just,
but if you can get in the 2 minute, he's really good in the 2 minute.
Oh, yeah, Gardner absolutely is, has so. Been. All right, my
get
first...
your better unit on the field. It's your offense.
Correct.
Yeah, but nobody thinks that way, man. But you know what? The offense hasn't exactly come out firing on all cylinders either. You know, you hate that. That's what you hate. Like, okay, it's going to take our offense a couple of series to get going. What if DJ Chark's not out there? We don't know, right? And if you go 3 and out, and then you're like, oh, there goes every advantage you had in winning the coin toss. So I think they'll still opt to defer if it comes down to it.
But agree.
We'll find out tonight. My first key to victory is Brandon, don't be wrong. Brandon Wright. Make your kick. Just make the – look, you don't have to make all like the 57-yarders necessarily. It'd be nice if you do, the crazy stuff. 49 yards and in, man. I mean, Lebo was automatic, and that's the standard we've come to accept and expect. And yes, granted, he missed an extra point last week, but that was kind of more the exception that proves the rule. So have a solid debut. Do not let the bright lights of NFL primetime football in your first game in the National Football League get to you. All right, D-Rock, give us another one.
Start hot on offense. They have trailed in the first quarter, both games. Put a good drive together and get points in that first drive, whether it's a field goal, touchdown, whatever. I don't care. But just start hot on offense for a change.
Let me go to the judges here, Tony. Was this not your last?
Well, you said the Dolphins were pass.
Yeah, they give up a lot in the pass. So
right.
So
I thought he was talking
hot.
More about the pass game. Oh, okay, well, then I'll take
it's
that
right.
back.
It's all right.
I'll take
good.
That back.
You get no credit for copying someone
that's okay.
on this show.
Well, if I'm going to copy anybody, it's damn sure going to be
sure
Tony.
It shouldn't be me. There's no question about it. Give us another one.
Okay. What I want to see is more LaVisca as much as possible. Get that kid involved.
Shaviska.
Get that kid involved. I want to see a pass from that kid in this game this week. I want to see him line up and throw one to Gardner. Get the crowd going. That'll be fun. But get him involved.
Throwing one to Gardner would put things on a crazy, epic level. Throwing one to anyone would be pretty good.
Yes. I want that kid to have double-digit touches.
Tonight. And now that Tony's taking Gardner Minshew tonight, I hope LaVisca throws several touchdowns tonight to Tyler Eifert. E.T., what you got?
We're 1-1. The game we won the turnover battle. The game we
lost,
we
sir.
Didn't. So let's win the turnover battle.
All right, turnover battle it is. Tony
Smith. Do you think the Jaguars' pass defense is better or worse than New England's?
Worse.
Better or worse than Buffalo's?
Worse.
The Miami Dolphins have thrown for nearly 500 yards through the first 2 weeks against defenses against the pass that are significantly better on paper than this Jaguars defense. I think they got to figure out some way to, when Fitzpatrick is hot, he is so hot, and going up against his weakest opponent on defense to this point this year is tonight against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tonight cannot be one of those bonanza nights for Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Miami offense, so limit the damage a little bit from the passing game.
All right, I will say, and this is one you probably could say every single week, but it's nonetheless very true. Jay Gruden talked about it this week. Continue to be efficient on third down. Convert your third downs and get the Dolphins off the field on the third downs, and I'm looking at you refs as well. No phantom PI on third down or any other down for that matter. So, all right, we've gone around the table with the few. Let's get some input from the listeners out there. Tony Smith, if you would do us the honors, give us some of the keys to victory that we've gotten this morning on Twitter.
Let's see what we got here today. We got from Cristiano, who called in this morning already. Beat the beard, win the turnover battle, the least penalties possible. Penalties haven't been a big issue for the Jaguars early on in the season. Hopefully they don't become one tonight.
And tell your wife that your anniversary is much more important than the football game, than watch the football game.
From Aaron, feed Robinson the ball the way they used to feed Fournette. Once Robinson has dominated the game, confuse them with playing Visca as a wide out back and quarterback, and prove that the mustache is mightier than a gray beard. We'll see. I don't know that his beard is gray. It's pretty. It's still got the color there for Mr.
Yeah.
Fitzpatrick. From Scott, Minshew, tighten up. Been good, but some questionable throws and bad sacks. Defense, get some stops early. Maybe get an early lead. Pressure Fitzpatrick. He's prone to mistakes. From JagFan15, get out to a faster start. Win the turnover battle. Get the run game going. From Nick, score early and often. Pressure Fitzpatrick. Keep Minshew protected. And the offensive line really has done a good job. And they did a good job in the second half last week, even after Linder went down. But it's a bit different when you're going to have your backup center in for the entire game, and we'll see if that offensive line, which they talked about all offseason, it's better than you think it is. It's better than you think it is. Well, through 2 weeks, it's been much better than we thought it would be. Can they continue that momentum from Richard? Don't make Fitzpatrick look so bad that they put in Tua. Run the ball down their throats and then chew it up big time. Let's see here from Michael, bring pressure specifically off the left side. Overwhelm the rookie left tackle. Attack the secondary. Be aggressive. Please don't leave it to a new kicker late in this one tonight. You talk about having our hearts in our throats if it comes down to a kick tonight. Whew.
But we could have a new hero, right?
Maybe.
I mean, you know, Lambo became a kind of a folk hero here over the last couple of years. Maybe Brandon Wright comes in and kicks a 50-plus yard game winner on Thursday Night Football.
Would he be Wally Pipp if he came in, or would Lambeau be did he do the Wally Pippen?
if Lambeau were to lose his job to Brandon Wright,
is he Wally
then
Pipp?
Lambeau would be Wally Pipp.
Yes.
And he got Wally Pipped.
He got Wally Pipped.
Right. Yeah. He ain't getting Wally Pipped.
No.
Not happening.
But, you know, we don't know how significant this injury is and, you know, how long it's going to keep him out. I'm not saying for the long term, but, you know, for this season, look, we hope Brandon Wright comes in and he's every bit as good as Josh Lambeau was, which is going to be hard to do. That's a pretty high bar for his tenure here in Jacksonville. So, all right, we'll get to the poll question today here momentarily, which asked you about your feelings of how big a deal is it that Josh Lambeau's on IR. No big deal, a small worry, very concerning, or catastrophic were your options. Fan Cam's on the line at 641-1010. Good morning, Cam.
Hey, good morning, MD, FT, ET, and Dynasty Mike. Hope all is well.
There you go. I think it is.
You guys make it easy on us fans out here in the trenches after four of the greatest minds in the industry spout off their choices for the keys to the victory. It's pretty easy for me to do. I'm kind of regurgitating some of what you guys said, but I think it's important to set up. Don't be afraid to set up the running game with some early play actions. Miami's pass defense, as you guys pointed out, is very vulnerable. You hit them early, and it'll really open things up for Robinson. Pressure Graybeard, and I do think it is Graybeard. He's probably down the mustache and beard aisle at your local Walgreens, I think. And you got to come at him hard, and that means covering the short stuff because he's going to try to get rid of the ball to Gesicki in the backs. And if you got that stuff bottled up, it'll give your guys time to get to him. And always, the most important thing, as E.T. said, respect the rock. You got to win the turnover battle. You guys, let's be loud tonight, and let's kick some butt. And did E.T. just compare our rookie kicker to Lou Gehrig? You guys have a great day.
Potentially, yes, he did.
Yes, you did. That's the Wally Pipp.
That's the Wally Pipp story.
Oh man.
Yeah, it was Lou Gehrig
took Wally Pipp's job.
Yeah.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
We went through this whole thing like a month ago.
I know that somebody took somebody's job.
Yeah, it was Lou Gehrig.
Lou Gehrig took Wally Pipp's job and didn't come out of the lineup for 2,130 consecutive games.
I gotta get my baseball game together.
That's all good. I'm surprised he remembers the Wally Pipp part of it, doesn't remember the Lou Gehrig part of the equation.
The more important
it's kind of what makes the story.
That is what
the fact that he took the job for the next 2,130 straight games. So yes, perhaps Brandon Wright's Lou Gehrig. You never know. The Iron Kicker. He's a rookie.
I think we kind of know.
He's got thousands of games in him. You never know. I don't know. We'll find out. I hope he does well tonight. Here are your options. How would you vote in this one, D-Rock? How big of a deal is it that the Jags had to place Josh Lambeau on injured reserve? No big deal, a small worry, very concerning, catastrophic.
I would say very concerning, and depending on what we see out of Brandon Wright tonight, potentially catastrophic.
It could be, or it could turn out to be no big deal. But going into it, you feel that it's very concerning.
I mean, he's been the most accurate kicker in the league the last several years. Now, he's made 95% of his kicks in 4 years with the Jags, field goal attempt.
Last year he was 97. He had just one miss.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That he's automatic. And you could argue he's probably the best free agent signing. I guess he wouldn't qualify as a true free agent. He was brought on, you know, not in free agency, but certainly the best free agent signing in Dave Caldwell's career, maybe. Him and Calais Campbell.
Yeah, I was going to say, Calais is pretty good.
Those two were really good. So
Boye's pretty good, too.
Yeah. But, I mean, they had such trouble with kickers, and then all of a sudden you have no worries about it and no worries for seemingly, I mean, he's a guy who can kick for 8-10 years. You don't have to worry about it.
Let's hope, right?
Yeah, I do think it can be very, very concerning. But we'll see how he progresses from the hip. But that's where I'll go at this point.
Tony, where would you cast your vote there?
I'd go very concerning because I don't think the Jaguars are so far separated from the Miami Dolphins that the kicking game doesn't matter. Like, it's not like I think they're head and shoulders better than Miami coming into this game. So I think the kicking game matters for this Jaguars team. If they didn't have Lambeau, I'm not convinced they win week one. You know, maybe Wright can make those kicks. I don't know. We haven't seen him in that spot. But when they took a sack and it became a 50-yard kick against Indianapolis, it was like, no worry.
No biggie.
Yeah.
No biggie.
Like, Lambeau's going to make it work for him anyway. If it happens tonight, hopefully it plays out the same way, but I don't have the same level of confidence that it's going to play out that kind of way. And I think those points matter against the Miami team that I think is going to score against Jacksonville, because the first two opponents did, certainly.
I mean, you look at what happened with Kansas City this week. It was overtime, and you got a 53-yard field goal, and they get a penalty, 5-yard penalty, and like a false start. He makes the kick.
Timeout.
58-yard field goal, timeout. Makes that one as the timeout's being called, and then drills it again, pipes it for the third time from 58 yards. I'm not saying Lambeau would necessarily do that, but you feed like he'd have a pretty good chance, right?
Yeah, like I'd like my shot with it,
yes.
Absolutely.
Let's hope it doesn't come down to a kick. Jags won easily tonight. I would as well put myself in the category of very concerning, because we just don't – for us, it's an unknown. Maybe the Jags are not as concerned. I think even if you have watched this guy kick in training camp and you feel good about it, you don't know until he gets out there. You just don't in the NFL. We've seen guys – I mean, drafted kickers that – fall flat on their face and are out of the league in short order. So, an undrafted guy from a small school, we'll find out. The results, very concerning. Win the day with 54.8. A small worry, 36.7. Catastrophic, 5.2, and no big deal, 3.3% out of over 300 votes on that one. All right, we'll make our prediction here momentarily. Let's say hello to XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Hungry? Try Moe's all-new Grande Homewrecker Burrito. Double the size and ingredients of our classic homewrecker. Get it before it's gone.
All right, Matt Hayes is here. Little Matt.
I'm trying to figure out your shirt. Superheroes. Right?
Yeah, Marvel heroes there. Yeah. Great. All right, so how big of a deal is it, do you think, that Josh Lambeau's on IR?
Big. I mean, you know, it's a guy who's almost automatic. You call him Lambo-matic for a reason, right? So, I mean, I to me, you got a guy that you have that much confidence in, even beyond 50. It's an issue.
How are you feeling about the outcome? I know you'll, I'm assuming, make your prediction on the show today.
You know, I'm a little concerned because I think the general perception is, oh, yeah, well, they win this game, then they beat the Bengals, and they're 3-1. And, you know, you start looking ahead, and, man, this league is dangerous. Hard to do that in this league, look ahead like that. I think they have the confidence. They got a little momentum going. They should win the game. Would I be shocked if they lost? No, not in the league.
All right. What do you guys have coming up today other than a little Jaguar talk?
We got Jay Smooth, Jaguars legend. He's going to come on and talk a little Jags. And we got Michael Silver, NFL writer.
All right, very
Jag
popular
and the league.
With the Jag fans, Michael Silver, from time to time. All right, we'll be listening. XL Primetime coming your way with Hacker, Josie, and Leon Searcy with Matt Hayes. Tony Smith, what's your prediction for tonight?
I'll take Jaguars 34-27 over the Dolphins.
34-27, D-Rock.
Jags 28-24, I believe is my pick.
28-24. ET, need a prediction for the game tonight, please.
20-17 Jags.
20-17 Jags. I'm going to go 24-22. If DJ Chark plays, that's a Jaguar win.
With a
prediction.
A last-second field goal there to go.
I hope not.
To win 24-22.
24-22. I've been picking this 22 score a couple weeks in a row now. I'm presuming DJ Chark plays, so that's where I'm at right now. I'm not even gonna entertain the thought that he doesn't play tonight. So that way, I don't have to make a contingency prediction. So we're all going to Jags. I'm not surprised. I hope the Jags come through. Whatever the score, 6-3. 49-48, win the football game and get to 2-1 and, you know, figure out what you did wrong and get ready for the Cincinnati Bengals and then maybe get on a little bit of a roll. Next four opponents, including tonight, combined 0-8 on the early part of the season. And, you know, obviously Houston's played Kansas City and Baltimore, so we'll find out how good they are as the season goes along. But as of right now, not that great. So opportunities there. D-Rock, what are you going to be writing about? Anything coming out this afternoon? Or are you all in the can already?
No, I had a Minshew story that ran this morning, and tonight's just what we got to do with off the game and see what's going on. We'll react.
All right. You check out Mike at ESPN Duraco on Twitter and on the digital pages of ESPN.com. Tweet him your fantasy lineup questions because he's on a he's on a hot streak right now, ladies and gentlemen. What are you, by the way, in the listener league? Are you 2-0?
0-2.
Are you? Okay, I did not know. I honestly don't know. I don't know what everybody is right now. I'm 0-2 in one of them, but I'm 1-1 in each of the others on a one game winning streak.
Thank you, Michael Thomas. You did this to me.
Oh, for you, yeah. Yes. Well, I did it to you, yes.
Yes, you did this
to me. It to Michael Thomas, therefore I did it to you.
Correct.
That is quite true. All right, Tony, we'll listen for you this afternoon at 3 o'clock. E.T., enjoy the game tonight.
I'll be there.
That'll do it for us today. For Tony, for D-Rock, for E.T., for all of you out there in Radio Land, we appreciate you listening. Go Jags! Let's have a Victory Friday, the rare Victory Friday around these parts, coming up tomorrow on Jaguars Today here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Go Jacksonville! Go!